Hey everybody, Alan here interviewing Chris Wise about business credit. If you have ever started a business or plan to it or just need money for real estate deals or whatever money-making opportunity comes your way, you're going to want to have business credit in order to do that. I know from my own experience it's one of the easiest ways to just get the kinds of funds that you don't have to jump through a ton of hoops, you know, to get approved. Once you see an opportunity, you get it set up, you do the little preparation, and then when the time comes, bam, you are ready for opportunities when they're out there, whether in business or jumping on a deal. Chris, you there with us?
I am here.
Pleasure to have you. Pleasure to have you, as always. Before we jump into the details of what people can do in order to start building their business credit today, do you want to tell us about how you became the business credit aficionado that you are today?
Sure, I'll give you a little brief background. I started my first business at the age of 12, and it started because I hated hearing, we can't afford it. Because every time that I went to ask my parents for something, they told me that we couldn't afford it. I hated hearing that. So I started my first business at 12, and I was sharpening chainsaw chains. And very quickly was making a lot of money. You know, 25 bucks an hour for a 12-year-old is not too bad.
And, not too shabby.
By the age of 21, I had built a corporation. We were doing $1 million a year. I had built my net worth to being a millionaire. And I had 15 employees, a retail storefront. I was
sharpening chainsaws or something else?
No. This was a technology company where we were wholesaling computer parts.
Cool.
Yeah. So, you know, I was busting my butt. I was, working hard. And I was working 7 days a week, 8 to 12 hours a day. I didn't have freedom. And then I read a book that dramatically impacted my life. And a lot of people, that, as you're listening to this, I'm sure you've read this book too, Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And what I got in this is having my money make me money, passive income, and the multiple streams of income. I'm sure many of the reasons why you've gotten into real estate. And what I saw is that this concept was what could give me freedom from working all these hours, from a job that I had created for myself.
Yes.
But the missing key, like, so I was excited to read this book, but then there was a missing piece. It was like, I need money. I need money to make money. How can I, you know, how do I do that? And so I started looking for ways that I can acquire funds. How can I get my hands on more money? And that's when I uncovered what I'm going to be sharing with you guys today, unsecured business lines of credit and the power that those have. Within a few years, I leveraged over $500,000 from my business, and I didn't put it back into my business. I didn't want to grow that business. I wanted freedom from that. And I created a level – I learned about investing. I learned how to invest wisely, and I put it into different investment opportunities. This was before the market crashed, and things were doing very well, and it enabled me to free myself from this business that I had started.
Question for you, Chris. When you recognize some of the signs that – you were not really fulfilled with where you were at the time, you know, because it's not enough to just have a business. I mean, here you had one, and it was successful. It was making money. But how did you know it was time for a change after reading that book? Like, what ways specifically did you incorporate that in order to find out that what you needed was more money to grow your business? Like, how'd that thought process go?
You know, first off, I was already about just – at that point when I read the book, I was just looking to generate more wealth. But, you know, I was also working – I wanted to create myself freedom and time. So it was just – it was a realization that I didn't have – like it was just the awareness that the information in the book brought to me that I don't have control of my time. I'm stuck doing this, and if I want this business to be successful, I have to keep doing this. And that sucks, and I felt trapped.
I've learned myself it's hard to replace yourself in your business if you cannot yet afford a person to come in and replace you, even if they're working on the cheap. And so I've learned that myself. Sometimes you have to calculate, you know, what do I want? Some extra employees, some extra software. What is it that's going to give me more time? And I promise you guys listening, everything you could want once you see what you need is just – an investment of time and money. It's just a dollar sign. You know, it might cost $500, might cost $1,000. It's just a question then of how do I cover this cost so that I can put this person in place, free myself up a bit. How did you end up doing that then? Did you end up using business credit to ramp up your marketing or buy real estate deals or what?
Yeah, so it was through a number of different avenues. It was through, I did some diamond deals. I got hooked up with a private equity firm, but actually even before that, I went out and I got education on investing. I learned about all kinds of different investment opportunities, and I started learning how to analyze investment opportunities because I knew I had to find ways, so passive income, find opportunities that didn't require my time into them. But I had to learn about them. I had to be a wise investor because this was money that I was leveraging. So there's risk on the line, and if you mess up, then it's you got to deal with that. So I started going out, learning about different investment opportunities, and I got hooked up with a private equity fund, and I put money into diamonds, I put money into oil, I put money into real estate, and most of those, a lot of those did very well at the beginning, and the market crashed, and then that created a whole new level of problems, but that's another story.
Yeah, it brings up a good point. There's no right or wrong type of investment. There's no one hottest investment out there that once you find it, you're done. It's just a process, like Chris said, of getting an education. That's something that never stops. You always keep learning how to recognize opportunities, how to evaluate them. And there's so many similarities between good deals, whether it's, I mean, just if you think about the things we've covered so far in this series, just if you think about it, the similarities between real estate, mobile home parks, commercial deals, billboards, diamonds apparently now, I mean, all of the kinds of the diversified types of investments out there, they're all out there. And we want to emphasize the fundamentals is that you be in a position to see them and to move on them when they come along. It's not enough just to see them, if you don't have the wherewithal. So what is the secret with business credit? I mean, somebody just starting out, do they have any business credit? Do they have negative until proven positive? I mean, how does it work?
There's a couple concepts I want to give you. The first thing I want to distinguish the difference, right? Because we say business credit, that is a very broad category for all kinds of different financing that would fall under the umbrella of credit from a bank in its many different forms for a business. So to get specific, so first off, a lot of times people get confused with trade credit. Right, trade credit is money that you could get from a Office Depot or Kinko's or Staples, and they'll extend to your business a net 30 terms or something like that for your business to go out and purchase, and then you pay it back. Most, and this is just an education for those of you that have that are seeing other programs that are out there or looking at this. Most stuff that's out there on the market is just about trade credit. What you want is cash credit. And my area of expertise is specifically unsecured lines of credit, and I can define that later, but right now I'll make a distinction between trade credit and cash credit. With cash credit, this is money from a bank that you can use, and you can have it sitting there waiting available for you to use to purchase a property, to put that to get a property under contract, to do the marketing, all kinds of different stuff, to hire that first assistant, right? One of the things that I did when I first lines of credit, I hired an assistant, doubled my income the first year. This is money that you can use for basically whatever you want. Trade credit, right? And they're both business credit, right? So what we want is cash business credit, cash lines of business credit.
Makes sense to me. And when you're in a position where you have an unsecured business line of credit, the flexibility once it's set up is amazing because you don't have to call anybody for permission and say, hey, I'm going to use some of this line of credit now on diamonds or gold or real estate or dirt or signs or what have you, cars, whatever, marketing, hiring an assistant. You don't have to get approval every time you want to use the money. And that was one of the most flexible and enjoyable things for me about having a business line of credit is experiencing that from the beginning. Plus, you just feel more empowered, like you can move on opportunities when you see them and not have to worry, can I come up with the money? It's awesome. It's awesome. So what are some tips then on how to build cash credit?
Yep. So let me give you the first big secret, and this will umbrella into all the different concepts. The number one thing is that you cannot, at least the majority of people, cannot go to the bank on your own and expect to be successful at acquiring funds. The reason is that it has gotten so complex in a certain way. There's so many little things that could get you to be declined that unless you're working with a consultant, unless you're working with someone that already has the relationships, that knows, right? Because one bank, if you put down the address in a certain way or you put down the phone number in a certain way, that could be different for a different bank. or if you're listing your projection numbers or your revenue numbers in a certain way to one bank, it could be different with a different bank. That stuff changes on a regular basis. And so you want to be making sure you're working with a team that is consistently working with the banks on a daily basis. Now, before you can even do that, and this is the information that I'm going to be able to share with you today, is you need to be ready to go and work with a service like that that will take you to the banks. Because right now, less than 1% of people are getting approved. It's just people that normally walk in, right? It's the people that are getting approved that are fitting inside the box. And so there's a framework of how to fit inside the box, and that framework I could share with you so you can begin to, and so as you're first starting your business, or so from right now, you can begin to position yourself to be bankable so that then you can be prepared to go and work with a consulting team that can take you to the banks. Just like working with a heart surgery, you know, you need to get heart surgery, right? You wouldn't go and try to do that on your own, right? But there may be some things that you got to do to prepare for the heart surgery. You got to have a certain diet. You got to do, you know, there are certain things of whatever they might be. So this
makes
is the
sense
same
to me, Chris.
Concept.
It's like when I've been trying to get tenant buyers approved for houses, you know, you can have a consultant, a loan consultant, take a look at them and say, hey, if they do X, Y, and Z to fix their credit in 3-6 months, we could in all likelihood get them a loan no problem. I'd imagine your business is the same way with a business credit consultant.
Yes. Yep. And
just
but it can be
you
a lot
do
quicker.
To get ready,
yep.
But then once you're ready, they take you to the next level.
Yep. And so, you know, you bring up a time frame. I'll give you the time frames of what, you know, what it takes to get this kind of money. 3 weeks. 3 weeks, you know, with our team to get the funding once you're prepped. Now, to get prepped, there's a number of different steps that you need to do, and that can depend on how long it takes you to do them. So do you want to – should we go into the different things to get prepped?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Okay. There's two fundamental essential keys. There needs to be somebody that has good credit. Now, this person does not have to be you. This is a huge insight and a very misunderstood concept that's out there. Because, first off, just to explain the type of money that we're working with, so this all makes sense into how to get it. So I'm going to explain unsecured lines of credit. Unsecured lines of credit. Unsecured. There is no collateral that you need to put up to get this money. There's no security. No security that's needed. You don't need a property. You don't need anything. The second thing, it's business credit. We've already defined that. Business credit's for the purpose of business use. It's cash credit. It's money that you can use for whatever you want. And it's a line of credit. It's money that can be sitting there waiting for you to use. And typically, you are just paying interest. You're not paying back both principal and interest. It's a line of credit. Interest, and here's interest rates. Interest rates are anywhere from 4 to 10%. Very affordable money. If you have access to deals, you can make a lot of money with this money. So now that that's the type of money that we're working with, by the way, this is a very powerful type of money to work with, because if you think about it, if you think about using hard money, right, hard money is great, right, but it requires security. It requires you to already have a deal ready to go. But to find the deal, to market the deal, to get the team in place, to put it under contract, maybe even for that 10% down if it's a rehab, all that money you can't do with hard money. And this is where unsecured lines of credit, business lines of credit, can fill that gap. Same
yep.
with
– I hear that. I remember when I was first starting out, I ran into a fellow in my town who used a friend's personal – with his permission, of course, you know, but he and his buddy used his friend's personal line of credit in order to fund real estate deals, and somehow the guy had like $250,000 available, and this guy could literally make an offer and say, you know, I can have the funds in a cashier's check this afternoon, the same day,
yep.
you know, for whatever kind of deal he was jumping on at the time. That was very powerful. He was one of the
yeah.
first guys I would call to try to wholesale to, because I knew he didn't even have to get permission from a hard money lender. He just had to say the word himself. It's a good
exactly.
position to be in.
Absolutely. And so when we have the other thing, private money, those are the two, you know, transactional funding, that's great. That has its own purpose. But typically when you're looking to acquire properties, it's hard money or it's private money. Private money, right, that they want security. They want to be in first lien position, right? But then to do all the same things, to get it under contract, to, you know, to get the team, to find it, the marketing, all that stuff, unsecured lines of credit is the gap filler. For you as a real estate investor, this is the thing that will make all those other types of fundings work.
we're talking about using this to buy the house, closing costs, renovation costs, holding it, making, you know, payments on it. Not to mention the cost to market the house. You know, this is very handy to have this money available to cover that, because you don't want to run out. You don't want to guess the wrong amount and then lose face with your private lender because you didn't borrow enough. You have to go back to him. You know, it's helpful. It is just helpful to have money on hand, and it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
Yeah, unsecured, specifically unsecured.
Yes.
And to add on to that, you know, if there's an opportunity where you can use secured funding, and obviously if the interest rate and your cost of money makes sense, then use that. Because this form of money that we're talking about is so powerful. It's so you can use it for whatever you want. If you can use secured financing instead, we'll do that. Because you want to use this for other things that secured financing won't cover.
Yeah, makes sense. The stuff you need it for fast, without approval, the miscellaneous stuff. No private lender or no mortgage company is going to loan you money to hire an assistant,
right,
you know, or to ramp up your marketing or run some more ads or what have you. But you use this money at your discretion. You can cover those gaps as needed. Very handy.
So I go over all that to say, to prep you what it's going to take, so it'll make more sense of what it's going to take to get this money. Now, generally speaking,
can you repeat those two things again? The first was there must be someone with good credit, whether you or somebody else. What was the second?
Yep, someone that has good credit, and then an entity. I mean, really a business, LLC, S-Corp, or C-Corp. Somebody that has good credit and then an entity are the two fundamental principles. So
the person with good credit needs to be the owner?
No. So this is important, right? About 60% of the people we're working with now don't have good credit. And so if you don't have good credit, don't worry about it. There's easy ways that you can get that resolved, you know, in a relatively short amount of time. But sometimes to get your own credit, there's ways to get things, bankruptcies and foreclosures and all those things removed. But sometimes that could take 4 to 6 months to get some of that big stuff removed and then to get your credit into a position where you could use your credit.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where you can use a credit partner, someone that has good credit. Now, the reason why the banks want somebody that has good credit is because this is unsecured. And this type of money, you can get this without even having revenues. So the bank's got to have somebody there that's like, okay, hey, at least this person has good credit. So that's why somebody that has good credit is important, but it doesn't have to be yours. And so just like you would borrow money from somebody else in the form of a private lender, right, this is the same thing. So that's OPM. I call this OPC, other people's credit. And there's just like there's people that want to make money with money they already have in a bank as a private lender, there's people that are out there right now that have good credit that are waiting for – they're sitting on the sidelines looking for you to come up to them and partner with them so that they can make money with their good credit.
Makes sense to me. And if you got to find someone with good credit and that's like the only real hoop you got to jump through, that's fair enough. I mean, the power of having an unsecured line of credit is very, very great. You know, it's very strong, so if that's what banks want, I guess you can't have everything. You know, you can't have it all. Plus, you're right, and it has not been that difficult to find people who want to invest and have good credit, or who want to invest, have good credit, and don't want to spend their time or don't have the money. It's just helpful to have people out there who can help you in a variety of ways, so your bases are always covered.
We find that I've watched the statistics very closely on how easy it is to find a credit partner. When people actually pick up the phone and call, two out of five people are actually interested in being a credit partner. So a lot of it's just learning how to explain it, learning how the concept, and you know that's a we have a whole hour long webinar on how to do that and the contract and all that stuff, because this is they're now working with you, right? So you want to structure it. Two out of five people are interested in doing it, and it's an amazing way if you don't have good credit to get money immediately. And here's the other thing: if you have multiple corporations, see, this is another great strategy for real estate investors or for people that want to get more and more money. Because on average, with each credit partner, we're getting anywhere from $50,000 to $120,000 on the first round of funding. But you can do two and three rounds and get an additional $50,000 to $100,000 per round. That's per credit partner. So if you want to get more money than that through unsecured financing. Now, this is – and by the way, this is great because this is money as if you don't have revenues. So the numbers that I'm giving you right now is for somebody that would have bad credit and no reportable revenue. No, or maybe they have tax returns, but they're not able to get approved, or not able to show revenue on their tax returns. So the more credit so the more people that you have partner with you, you have another entity, you set it up to be bankable, you have the credit partner with the entity. Together you go out and acquire funds with that entity, you can get another 100, 200, 300,000, depending on how many rounds you go, per credit partner. So when you begin to leverage this idea of a credit partner with multiple entities, it exponentially increases the amount of money that you can acquire.
Wow. Wow. So is that why, like, I get three business credit card applications in the mail at the same time for, like, three different entities that I have? You know, I got my main one or two, and then I got some other ones I use just for holding properties or whatever, you know, these little LLCs. And it seems like I get rounds of business credit applications in the mail where it's the same thing, you know, but I get four copies of it for four different entities out there. Do you think I'm on a list of corporation owners or something like that that they're marketing to?
And is Here's how that happens. They are able to pull who has entities, and then they're also able to look at the owner and look at their credit. And so you're fitting the criteria, and anybody can get into this position, you know, putting these steps into place, where you begin to get offers from the banks. So where you're at right now is they get information from TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian, and then they're also getting information from one of the business credit bureaus, whether it's Dun & Bradstreet, Corporate Experian, or Corporate Equifax. And then they're sending these offers. Now, here's the catch on this. If you're getting these offers, each bank – now, see, it depends. If you have revenues then that you can show – first off, if you're – there's a, okay, so if you're a real estate investor, you're not going to go to the bank as a real estate investor. That's the first key. Banks aren't lending to real estate investors. So you need to learn how to position your company in another division. And sometimes we'll have people pull from their past experiences of what they have. Oh, I used to do marketing, or I used to be this consultant, right? And then you structure your business to be that way. Then you go to the bank in that format. Because if you go and you have real estate in the name, you have investing in the name, you have financing in the name, you're going to get declined.
So don't avoid the uses of the words real estate, financing, other things that sound high risk to them.
Yes. And sometimes we have people that just got to change the name of their corporation. But if you're just starting an entity, make sure you don't do it. Do a generic name, and then if you want to have a cool real estate name, do a DBA, and then have your website. Guys, I really want you to get what I'm giving you here. This is like gold, like juice. Like, this is like the keys to the vault.
It's the kind of stuff where you're setting up an entity, you want to do it right the first time, and use what you just said so you don't have to go back and fix it, change it later.
Yep. So you do that. Now, going back to these multiple applications that you're getting, right? So if you're going – first off, let's say that your situation is you don't have – you're writing off everything, and maybe you have real estate – maybe you're making money as a real estate investor. You wouldn't want to show them your tax returns because they could see that it's real estate income. There's different transactions that are on there. So you wouldn't want to show them your tax returns anyway. So you're going to want to go what's stated. And there's still 16 banks out there that have programs where you can go without showing your tax returns. So you got these entities. Now, on each of these entities, the reason why you couldn't go to each of the different entities with your own credit is because the banks have a maximum amount, and usually that amount is 25, some banks 50, but there's only one, but so we'll just say 25. $25,000 per bank that you can get unsecured stated, meaning unsecured, they don't have, there's no collateral, and stated meaning you're not showing any tax return documentation. So even though you're getting three applications, you have three entities, you can only use one of them. Let's say you get $25,000 on the first pop with one of your entities. You couldn't go – it would be a waste of your time to go to the same bank with a different entity under your name, because they're going to reference it by your Social Security number and see that you've already been lent $25,000. You're going to get declined.
So you want to apply for a business line of credit for three different entities, each one with one of three different banks.
Each one with different credit partners.
Oh, I see. So you could go to the same bank three times with three entities as long as there's three credit partners.
Yes.
Is that the better way to go? Like, you find a bank that it's easy to get the credit with, and then just keep going back to that one with different entities and partners?
Yeah, and that's how we do it. So we do a different round. So we'll go after six banks on the first round. And if you have multiple entities, you just get other credit partners, and then you go through it. And then the next bank, then we'll go after another four banks, and then we do it that way. So we do it in chunks, right? So each bank is lending you. So these are smaller lines of credit. They're unsecured, right? They're smaller lines anywhere from $10,000 to $25,000. Then we use all that money together. We can pull it out, put it all together, and you can use it for doing larger purchases if you need to.
Cool. Well, that sounds like a smart way to go. You know, I've applied to several local banks, and there's just no strategy for doing it before. Like, I knew you could approach, well, I mean, there's different schools of thought. You know, some are like, call the biggest ones in the country or respond to their ads. And other folks say, you know, no, go with the local people that are locally run and schmooze with them at the country club and get to know them and blah, blah, blah. And I've done both. And let me just say the latter doesn't really mean anything. I mean, I've seen some of the most amazing stuff get turned down. Just because I picked a bank at random out of the blue, and it's just not a good way to go about it. It makes sense to focus on the ones that are most likely to give it to you and then spend some time. I'm guessing this is what your service is, personalizing your applications or really putting some thought into them in order to further ensure, you know, that you get approval or you get the line of credit that you want. You know, so what are some other strategies to keep in mind if someone says, starting today, you know, I want to get $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 of business credit available to start jumping on some small deals. What are some other strategies they can do?
Yeah, and before I do that, let me finish addressing that because you brought up a good point.
Sure.
It would if you already have a good relationship with the bank, and definitely go there. But see, you still there's a very high probability that if you went on your own, that you'd run the risk of getting declined unless you had all the different pieces that we put into place. I'm going to scratch the surface today, but there's you know there's still there's about 200 points that you want to make sure are in place. So if you already have a relationship with the existing bank and you have all the you know you've looked at the whole picture, the 200 points of all the different things that you want to have in place, then yes, you know I would say go there. But what's working today, and even this is myself, like I don't stay on top of what the banks are doing every day. That's what I have my team for, and they're every day putting in applications. We're doing hundreds of applications on a daily basis, and they have direct relationships inside with the underwriter that in a little shift changes, and they know how to position it. So it used to be different. You know, 3 years, 4 years ago, it could be you could do it pretty well on your own and get some great results, a couple $100,000, right? But in today's market, they have gotten so in the box, right? And that knowledge of even once you've gotten positioned, there's still little tweaks that are done to each individual bank to make sure that you can get in the door. That's where you want to just, and also how many you go at the same time, right? Because there's certain banks, when you're going, you want to do a chunk of banks at the same time. And so you want to have a, you know, have them all set up to go, boom. So you get the six banks at once because there's an inquiry factor that if you have an inquiry that's pulled and then you were to do it the, you know, a week later, or maybe sometimes even a day later, you could get declined because of too recent of an inquiry. So
There's all kinds of
strategize.
tips and tricks like that I've noticed, that make a big difference.
So there is really a lot to, you know, so definitely if you want to do it yourself, go to banks you have a relationship with, but just don't, if you're going after a big bunch at the same time, like using another service, don't do them at the same time because that could also mess up the strategy because there is a lot of strategy to optimizing the amount of money that you can get there.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. It's good to know someone who knows some of the little tweaks to put into there. It just reminds me of growing up. Sometimes the Nintendo game did not work, and unless you knew the secret that you had to blow on it before putting the cartridge
That's
back in,
right.
it would not come on again. And
That's right.
business credit, I've heard little things like whether the application's faxed versus mailed versus done on the phone versus called in or done on the internet makes a huge difference too. Does how you send it back make any difference, or is what you're talking about different than just responding to solicitations you get in the mail?
Well, no, that does make a difference, and that's on a per bank basis too, and that changes frequently. So
Really?
there's not a general rule that works across the board for that. It's on a per bank basis.
Well, that's good information to know then. Okay. Good to hear. Let's say that you wanted to start out getting your first line of credit. What kind of amounts are often possible for someone's first time? You know, just if nothing else, you know, should I shoot for 20,000, 30,000, or what's most realistic?
Yeah, here and it's all going to depend. This is all. See, this is all a science. There's a framework, and the more pieces that you have in place, right, to fit into the framework, the more money that you'll be able to get. So there's three components of this framework, right? So my answer to that question is get as much as you can get, right? It, based on the time frame that you need it to get it in, right? Because sometimes putting the little crossing the I's and dotting the T's might take an extra 30, 60 days. That might get you an extra 20 to 40,000. Well, the question is going to come up is it worth the wait? Because right now, if you went to the bank right now, maybe you could get 10,000 from that one bank. But if you waited 30 days and built out your, you know, paid down your revolving debt a little bit, or maybe increased your Experian score, your business Experian score, that might get you an extra 10,000, depends on the bank. Is that worth it? So the bigger question is, on the person's credit that you would need to decide is, how, you know, could you wait to optimize your profile, your what I call your banking profile, to optimize that your the amount that you're going to get from each individual bank, or do you need to just go right now, get what you can get, and then the next round you'll use a credit partner and go after the same banks?
That makes sense. So my guess is there's some things that in most cases there's some things you could do right away that would have a big impact. There's some things that might take a little time, and then there's some things that just aren't worth. You know, it's just a diminishing return after that. You kind of, I guess that's where a consultant comes in handy, is helping you see what your options are and kind of feel out when to go for it and when to wait,
yep,
when to take your time.
Yep. So here's that framework. First, I'm going to give you two changes that have recently happened in the industry. One, Dun & Bradstreet out the door. Banks don't even care if you have a Dun & Bradstreet score. Shocking, yes, I know, because every business credit program you've ever looked at before has all been selling you on why a Dun & Bradstreet score is so awesome and great. And they're still selling it because they probably don't even update their information. Dun & Bradstreet, banks don't even look at Dun & Bradstreet. Useless. What is useful now is corporate Experian and corporate Equifax. Building out, getting with vendor trade vendors that are – now, here, first off, here's the reason why I'm talking about this. Trade credit. Because some banks want you to have a trade credit profile built out where they can see – yep, you're set up with corporate Experian, or yep, you're set up with corporate Equifax, which, by the way, 30% of banks use corporate Experian, 70% use corporate Equifax. So when and it does help, right? Because you could go to there's six banks that we work with that if you don't have a business credit, a business trade credit profile established with either of these bureaus, you won't get money. They will just decline you because of no established business credit. Business trade credit history. But there's 10 other banks that we could get. So let's say you're just getting started, you want to get money, boom, and you have good credit, but you don't have the trade credit profile built, boom, we could get you money from these 10 banks. And then round two, right, it takes you maybe 30, 60, 90 days to build out those trade credit profiles. Then round two, we take you to the banks, these other six banks that do look at the business credit profile because you've had time to build it out, but we were able to get your money right away immediately, and then we get round two, we get the money from those banks.
Oh, I see. So you don't have to wait or choose. It's not either or. You can apply for some now and then apply for some later when you've fixed things a bit.
Yep, depending on how your individual banking profile looks.
That makes sense. Anyone listening, I'd go with that. Get what you can get now. There, you will absolutely find out with your consultant's help things that you can change. And get started on that with a plan, with the intention of applying for more later on as you go. But I'm telling you, there's opportunities out there from day one. You know, I could go down to the local RIA club and just stand up and say, I've got money, and confetti would fall from the ceiling, and everybody runs up to you. And it's your best friend when you let them know, you know, I've got it available, you need this for repairs or for whatever. You know, you go in as a partner with them or whatever. I mean, there's always uses if there's opportunities that you're able to see and with people you trust.
Yep.
I'd say go for the gold now. Business credit consultants, that's kind of new to me. You know, I'm not really used to that idea. I haven't heard of this this kind of help or service before. Are you a pioneer in your industry? Is this going to become the norm or what?
Well, you know, I'd say that it is. I mean, what was out there when I was looking at putting this together, there was education, right? So there was people educating people on how to build trade credit, and maybe at some point in the future they'd actually get cash lines of credit after a year or two. And then there was business brokers that would just go out and get you the money, but wouldn't necessarily position you. If you walked into them and said, hey, this is my setup, they'd say, okay, great, we can get you X amount from these five banks. So there was no in between. There was no one out there that was providing education and providing the structure to optimize the results that you could get when you went to the banks, with also a service that actually took you to the banks and got you the results too. And so what I did, I saw this need in the marketplace, because you, as a business owner, you need to know how to position yourself, because all these things are things that you're doing on a daily basis, how you're structuring your personal credit, how you're building your trade credit, how you're naming your business. All these things impact your bankability. And once you learn them, then you can know, have that knowledge, so that you can consistently and anytime you want go after and acquire new funds. So I'm committed to not just getting people money, but to providing them the education, the knowledge, so that they can master the skill of acquiring funds, so they can get money whenever they want and not have to rely, just get it down and just get it done.
Yeah, you really do just get it done, and then you can get back to focusing on what makes you money, finding the deals, making it happen. Yep. You know, I spent a lot of time early on spinning my wheels, just trying things didn't work in order to get business credit or even private money or what have you. And it can take a lot of time. It's the kind of thing where you want to just get the freaking money so you can get back to business, back to making deals. It's a necessity that we have. You know, many, many investments take money in order to make money. That's the reality. The way is out there. But there's several ways to do it, and I like what you're presenting, because the idea is that it can be done with an expert service and save you time. The amount of time of your day or your week that you have to spend just to increase your business's ability to do more deals.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Now, there's calendar time, I'm sure. Some things might take 60, 90, 120 days, a year, whatever. But would you say, Chris, with the help of a consultant, the amount of time that the individual business owner spends is a lot less because he doesn't have to read 600 ebooks on how to get a Dun & Bradstreet account, which it now turns out is irrelevant anyway?
Yeah, well, let me clarify that, because while, you know, we'll take you to the banks for you, there's still work that really only you can do in getting things set up and structured. So there is an initial learning curve, which that initial learning curve will serve you in the long run, because most people have never gone out and mastered the skill of acquiring funds. And that takes time. That mastery takes time. But once you get it down, right, and we have people that get it down in 90 days, right, the mastery of it, right, but they may get money sooner, but the mastery of it, so they can get money whenever they want and understand the different things when they're starting a new company, how to position it and how to set it up. So that,
you know, I feel like I could do it with a framework. You know, it's the kind of thing where I'm willing to invest in a learning curve as long as I'm sure that whoever's telling me what to do is actually, you know, as long as I'm actually on the right path. So
yep.
Learning curves are fine. I'm excited to hear that you invest in this kind of thing and you're saying make it a part of you. Get set
yes.
up, learn the fundamentals of how to always have money available, and
yes.
then it just keeps paying from then on.
That's
valuable.
Once you get it down, you got it. It's a skill, mastering the skill of acquiring money.
So what kind of stuff is there on the applicant's part when you're applying? What kind of stuff would a person have to do?
So in terms of filling out the application, or more specifics on what it takes to be bankable?
I'm guessing for sure applications are part of the things that take
yep.
time. And then anytime you give recommendations of how to prep, become bankable, I'm guessing each of those involves the borrower gathering some records, gathering documentation, et cetera, just like credit repair, business.
It's actually pretty straightforward. What's required is, you know, so there'd be the person that has good credit, there'd be the entity, and then if you had built out the business trade credit profile, those are really the three key components. Part of that entity is having a phone number that's listed with 411, having your address. Now, you can use your home address and your business address as the same one. It's best if you use an executive suite, but one that's not a P.O. box. And so that's you don't need. By the way, you don't need a website. I don't remember if I mentioned that.
What about
that,
like a personal mailbox that's not post office box, but is at a UPS store or something like that?
No, those won't work. Those are marked and will cause issues with the banks and also with the business credit bureaus.
They know those addresses because there's so many of them in town.
Yep.
Okay.
Then your personal credit profile. There are five key elements to the credit profile. So if you're looking at your own credit and evaluating it, or you're looking at a person's – do we have enough time for me to go in these 5 points?
Yeah, actually, I want to hear those.
Okay, so here it is. Write these down. These, by the way, you should be writing all this down. This is all like killer stuff that you want to just do.
Hey, before
Here's
you
the
get to
point.
the 5 points of the personal credit profile, what were the two before that? The second was your mailing address, I think, and what was number one?
Yeah, mailing address. It can be the same as home and business, but it's best if it's an executive suite, but not a PO box. You don't need a website, and you want to have a phone number that's listed with 411.
That's what it is. Okay, phone number with 411.
Yep. And by the
All
way,
right.
you can use a voice over IP service, and if you get those that's not listed with 411, do listyourself.net. It's a free service. You can get listed with 411.
Good to know. I had that challenge once.
So it's either five or six. Well, I'll list them off for personal, what you're looking at. It's not the score, by the way. You're not looking at the score. You're looking at how the profile's made up. The biggest killer right now is revolving debt. You want to be at a revolving debt, so your debt ratio, essentially, the amount of money that you have borrowed on your personal credit versus the limits that they've given you. You want to be at 30% to get in the door to even, you could get money at 50%, but you want to be at 30% or less, right? Just that's going to get you begin to get you the best marks. The ideal place to be is at 10% or less. And that's overall your total debt ratio, and that's also on each individual line. Right, you could have a 30% ratio or less, but you could have one card that's at 50 or 60%, and the banks could decline you for that, or reduce the amount that you would get approved because of that one card having over 30%.
Okay.
The next component is, so debt ratio, that's the biggest killer. The next component is no delinquencies, derogatories, or public records. If you got those, there's a service we do that you can easily get those things cleaned up and removed. Then there is inquiries. Inquiries are killers. Some banks look at the last 6 months, other banks look at the last year. So depends on the bank. Two or less is the best. And if you have inquiries, you can get those removed also. But inquiries lately have been really hard to remove, even harder than bankruptcy sometimes. It's just kind of funny, but that's just the way it is right now. That's three. The next is having your mixture of installment and revolving accounts. So installment accounts, the best minimum mixture is two and two. Two installment accounts, two revolving accounts. So a mor here and here's the best mixture, a mortgage and an auto loan. And then two credit cards, two personal Visa or Master credit cards. And it matters. Visa or MasterCard carry more weight than Discover and American Express. And those credit cards in general carry more weight than the store cards like Macy's or whatever that you might have on your purse, Sears or whatever. Those carry very little weight and affect your debt ratio very little. The other things are flex cards. Be aware of them. If you have a flex card, those do not report your limit, and those will just count towards your debt. If you have a flex card, get it changed over to a regular credit card that reports the limit. Don't get flex cards. They'll screw up your debt ratio.
Okay. And that was number four, right? What's number five?
I'm kind of loose. I'm not sure which number I'm at. I'm just throwing them all out here.
I'm just keeping coming.
Your mixture. Now, installment, auto, two accounts. Now, the best mixture is where you have four and four, right? Four installment accounts, four revolving accounts. That is the best, but sometimes you got to build up to that over time, which we have a whole process for credit optimization to getting people to an 800 plus score because you have control over your credit. There's strategic ways that you can position this account, get this limit increase, do this, do that. So over time, you can become more and more bankable with your own personal credit.
So a consultant might help me to realize that, let's say, in order to have two and two, let's say I have only one of one, the installment debt, and one type of revolving debt. They might say, for example, okay, now you just need to go out and get a new Visa card somehow. Here's some options for how to do it, which banks are most likely to give it to you, et cetera. Because I think it's the same way with getting personal lines of revolving credit. If you just go applying to any place, you might get turned down. But if you apply to a targeted space, then you're more likely to get accepted. I guess you guys know who to refer people to in order to get personal revolving credit, things like that.
Yeah, and we do sequencing strategies. So let's say somebody's credit is, you know, they could go and apply and get 25,000 business credit right now. We say, look, you could go and apply and get 25 grand right now, or you can go out and get a credit partner and partner them up with your credit and get whatever you can get with that scenario. And then in 6 months, go out and get an auto loan. Go out and get this this credit card account that gave you a $10,000 limit. Go ahead and pay this card down and increase this limit. Do these three or four things. And then in 6 months, you'll be in a place where you can get $75,000. Which one do you want to do?
Got it. That sounds like a really valuable service to have. I'm glad you gave us some of the tips that your team is on top of. It does appear that things change in the business credit world. What works now is not necessarily what used to work, and vice versa.
Yep.
Thank you for giving us the five parts of a personal credit profile. I think that's something that everybody could start improving right away, even if you don't have an entity yet or a credit partner or know specifically what to do. That's just good information to have to improve your personal credit and, there, as a result, business credit for any entities and ventures you get into. Chris, do you have any other words of advice for people to wrap things up before we sign off this time?
Yeah, you know, don't wait. Don't wait to get money. You know, the number one reason why businesses fail, and you know this, you all know this, you're going to say it's because lack of capital, not having money. Now, did you ever think about why? The reason that I realized this as I thought about it is that the business owner never made a decision to make acquiring funds a priority. They never decided to master that skill. My life dramatically changed when I made that decision. And you cannot be a statistic by deciding right now. Decide that you are going to master that skill, whatever it takes, of acquiring funds. And when you make that decision, your life will be forever changed.
Thanks, Chris. I like that a lot. It really will change, folks, to put you in a position of strength and the power to seize the opportunities that come your way. Hope you all have great results as a result of applying these things that Chris has taught us. Chris, thank you again for donating your time today and giving us the inside look on how real entrepreneurs are getting real money for their business today. Thanks again, Chris, and thanks everybody else for listening.